Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Just a little disclaimer before I run the episode. All of the views and opinions are of the individuals. Also, a quick heads up on any language at times when people get passionate about a certain subject. For more information or to ask any questions, drop me a message. My Instagram is TomSageBarbering. Alternatively, you can message me through Facebook or Twitter. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Take a Seat, episode 6. I'm with a very special guest today. I've only known this guy now for about 2 weeks maximum, and I've had a lot of this guy's inspired me so much over the last few weeks, and it's been such an amazing experience to be in his company, and how he's like, you know, his life is so inspiring and so interesting, and it's something I've wanted to share for a long time now. So yeah, welcome to the podcast, Mo.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, bro. This is so off the cuff. We're sat in my car.
This is a bit random. And,
yeah, 100%, bro. But this is with the podcast, my aim was to do it as real as possible and just as raw as possible. And just, yeah, so I think this is the perfect opportunity to do it. And yeah, I got time. So yeah.
Welcome. Yeah, thanks for that lovely introduction.
Yeah, that's cool,
absolutely,
bro.
Absolutely amazing, that was.
Yeah, it's inspiring, bro. Trust that, like, the last few weeks of me, like, speaking to you, knowing your story, knowing how things have transformed in your life. I think people would like to hear it, especially being older. Like, you know, how old are you now, bro?
I'm 34.
So you've had all those years on top of what everybody else has done. So yeah,
sounding pretty old now, actually. Nice one, Tom.
Sorry, bro. Yeah, go on. I just wanted you to introduce yourself, basically, yeah. And just tell people a little bit about your story.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I'd probably just say, like, thanks very much, Tom, for that. The introduction.
Yeah, cool.
You inspired me from that introduction. So I don't know about me,
yeah,
Leo,
cool.
But that was really, really, really good. So it's great to be here.
Thank you.
I'm in great company. Mm. It was amazing. It's amazing that you felt so comfortable,
yeah,
with me, because it was very much a
it's just organic, bro. I wanted it to be as organic as possible, and I think the people listening can already understand how organic it is. We're literally sat in my car, bro. We've, like,
beautiful day,
bro. We've just been to Juma prayer.
Yep.
I've had food, I've been into town or whatever, and we obviously met for the prayer and stuff like that, and then now for us to have this conversation, I just think it's like we're so deep into the conversation already about, like, obviously just coming out of Juma, you feel like cleansed and refreshed, and it's just nice to have conversations about this, because, you know, it's such an
life.
Yeah, 100%, bro. So a little intro, man.
No worries. So maybe in terms of, like, just the intro, in terms of who I am, so I was raised...
Go from the start.
Oh, bloody hell. Right, I'll take you briefly for the start.
Years.
I've had him. I know. I've got ADHD undiagnosed. So let's double those 34 years, because, I mean, it's a hell of a lot of energy.
Yeah,
in this space of time. So, yeah, so I'm Mo. I was raised in London initially. South London, Brixton. Big up Brixton. Any Brixtonians in here?
Yeah, Brixton.
Brixton, yeah. And which was a great experience. Then we my parents had another house in the other part of London, so we went over there briefly. North London.
Okay.
So it's down by, like, Haringey. I wouldn't say so.
Really?
No, I wouldn't say so. It was more so than.
I thought North was quite nice. Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
I'd say North was nice. Yeah. And I think it's not nice. I wouldn't say it's nicer than South. I think it's a different feel. I remember going from one side to the other and just having it was definitely two distinct flavours, you know. So I've had a bit of some of the south side, and then I've had a bit of some of the north side.
Yeah.
And so that was wicked. And then we moved over to Birmingham. So a lot of, like, city hopping. So it wasn't that stable initially when I was growing up, in terms of kind of...
A little bit here, a little bit there.
You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and that type, yeah, of thing. But it was amazing, all great experience in that. So we moved up to Birmingham and had school again up there, which was an absolutely fantastic experience.
It's a really nice place, bro. Like, it's a big city now. It's on the come up quite a lot recently.
Yeah.
It's like becoming, like, almost like the next London in a way, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second city, you know, coming up you know, in terms of like the come ups, and yeah, you've got a lot of people high on drugs up there coming up. Sorry, I forgot to slip that in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a quite.
Which we'll definitely go on to in a bit, because that's
yeah, kinda,
yeah.
It's a big thing. I was there not too long ago. So yeah, so did the whole Birmingham thing, but you know, my childhood was like, much like many others in some ways, and also you know, so I had things like around. I just mentioned, I slightly tapped on to me having ADHD, so I had a lot of energy when I was younger. I mean, they called it ADHD in years to come, but I'm like, I call that energy, personally.
Yeah. Well, it's not like, the thing is, especially with diagnosing, you know, being diagnosed with that as well, it can categorise you in 100%. A way. It's better to just sort of be like, you know, it's the same with mental health, really, or whatever. There's no point in pinpointing it on one thing, do you know what I mean? It's better to just sort of, I think, roll with it and learn to...
And find your own label. And yeah, label. I think it's better for you to label yourself and understand yourself rather than... You know, so... I mean, when they did say... Whatever they said about me, I didn't actually take any notice, to be fair.
Yeah.
So that was good. That was probably...
Just driving on the walls.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
I'm all over the police.
But I was actually, like... at the same time as well, and I had like some school expulsions, I had things like that, but at the same time I was like really, I was actually quite clever, believe
yeah,
it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, really had a great love and passion for books.
Is it?
Absolutely massive. Oh, which was kept hidden from, because I was Mr. Cool, you know, as you do.
That's a shame, man. I think that's like, you know, it's amazing how society's changing, but back then, you know, I bet if you were reading books and you're like, oh, people would call you a nerd and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit of a bookworm and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know,
it's... No, I actually just didn't. Yeah, they would. So I just, nobody knew.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like a hidden...
You actually enjoyed that,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was probably like saving grace, to be honest. Yeah. You know, with the books.
Like
with the
book. Escape.
Yeah, it's like escapism.
Ritual, yeah.
In terms of my household itself, they were very strict. It's very... my dad was an academic, believe it or not. So my mom, and they came from a very... quite a fairly prestigious family in that sense, you know, in terms of high achievers. So I was basically on lockdown as well, which didn't help the situation, because I was like Mr. Cool on the outside, and inside I was under lock and key, you know. Yeah. So that probably impacted my mental health, no, my identity and sense of self. So I probably had like a lot of challenges around that quite young, being a black man as well. I went to, like, one of the schools that I went to though was really, really good. It's a private school in Birmingham, and so I was a little bit clever, and that was a great experience.
Are we allowed to state the name?
Bishop Vessey. Yeah, no worries.
Shouts to Bishop.
Yeah, Bishop. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, so you guys over there was really, really good, because obviously everyone was quite fairly clever, and it was okay to be clever. So for the first time I was able to be a bit more of myself.
Wasn't that a private school as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
a scholarship or something like that.
Yeah. So we couldn't afford it, but that's okay. It's okay. Yeah. No, great people, great experiences. You know, had some of my best experiences there. You know, I remember going to a friend's house, for instance, and for a party, and you know, the driveway was, you know, press the intercom, and the driveway is like half, like 20 minutes away. The house was 20 minutes away from the drive.
Really?
You know, so like some big. But they were amazing, and everybody accepted me.
They're still amazing people.
And they those experiences shaped me. And you can imagine, like, so from kind of inner city Brixton to kind of the other side of London.
So the Fresh Prince goes to
Bel-Air. Do you know what I mean? It's like for kind of thing. Yeah, almost. And they accepted me. I think that was the major thing. That's so, like. From very young, I was into all kind of, you know, different people and around different people and stuff, with the kind of, not city hopping, but, you know, from kind of being from having, you know, the few parents having a few properties or whatever it was at the time. And yeah, so that was my early days and stuff, and which involved, it was fun stuff. And then, yeah, so things went on. I had a little, touched on a bit of identity issues as well. So, and that was probably between 15 to maybe 20 or so.
If you had to describe identity issues or how you would determine that, would you say that you weren't sure, you were trying to be a few different people to different groups of people, is that what you mean?
I was trying to be anybody but myself. So I was trying to find myself in other people. So I was like looking for Tupac Shakur, or, you know, I was looking for role models that resonated with me outside of myself, which is never good.
Do you find that at the time it was like the people who were like creating music at the time, the rappers and stuff like
yeah.
that, they were sort of influencing you and being
yeah, because I always felt like I was cool. No, yeah. I always felt like people felt I was cool.
I think
like,
that's a cool thing to cool thing. I think that's an important thing to like reflect on. I think that's good, man. The fact that you think that it's good to, for you to find out how other people think about you, so you can sort of like, you know, change your how you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Your aspect on how you are as a person as well, and like, reflect on what you are actually. So that's an important thing to do, I think, and find out. You know, other people's opinion on yourself sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to close your... You have to close your mind also at the same time to what the world thinks of you.
Mm.
You know, in some ways. And then... in some ways, you know. Yeah. But I think role models are really, really important. And I think for me, like, that's where kind of like the faith element came in, got involved in. Because I actually needed role models. I needed to see... What type of options there were for human beings. Like, I had my dad, who was really, really good. And he was, later on down the line, I really appreciated him. But then I needed more options of what I could be. And the more likely options did look like the music options, like the Tupac Shakur, you know, people like that. Mm. They looked like the more, you know, with my energy, with the energy that I had, with maybe some looking at some of life's injustices and stuff like that. In some ways, I did, like, you know, so, in fact...
No,
and in some ways, what they were doing was contradiction, because they might talk about some things, but they would act in some ways. So they would be, I don't know, promoting gangbanging or whatever it is. I don't know, you know, criminality and that type of thing. So then again, that, you know, so you have that pushes on you. So you're thinking, okay, well, if I identify this person, this is, and I find this so cool about them, but then they also do these things, and it like allowed the other things that they do to become a bit more cool, a bit more acceptable and stuff in my own. Own mind, I think.
Do you think they influenced you at all?
I think so. I think music did, in terms of, you know, and I'll just say, just in terms of the images that I seen out there that I felt reflected with me.
Because you grew up around, like, the Biggie and the Tupacs.
Yeah, I grew up with
around it. That time. So for you, that was, like, right for the time. So
yeah.
How did that influence you and your, and how growing up, and, you know, did it change many people's, like, views on society and stuff? How was it at the time?
I mean, it's funny because you had the whole Tupac Biggie thing, and I wasn't a Biggie fan, I was a Tupac fan.
Mm.
And, you know, when I think now, I'm reminiscing in, you know, in hindsight, when I look back, I understand why, because Tupac was more, he was very deep. Yeah. I came to know, find myself and found that, like, I was naturally a really deep guy. I was a guy who used to think about a lot of things and different yeah. situations and stuff. So I can see where he grabbed me and drawed me. And I think that was fantastic, because there's so many good things about him. You know, I don't want to blame me going off the track on another gentleman who was trying to find himself and trying to find a voice, well. You know, and I gained so much from him and stuff.
Mm.
So, but kind of like touching on that, so I had a couple of years basically, which were like wild years. And like, I had a personality where a lot of people were attracted to me. So whether it be good people, great, and whether it be bad people. And so whether it be good, I'll get the best of the best, maybe, yeah. some of them. And I also, if I was hanging around with the worst, it'd be the worst of the worst who would attract yeah. me. So what happens was my journey was sped up more than the average person.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
you know, I would do things in a quicker space because more people were attracted to it. And I could think out of the box. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I ended up living like maybe like
three different lives. Either really bad or really good.
Exactly. And I think at that time, because my influences were quite negative at that space of time between like 15 or 16, let's say, and 20, it was really bad. You know, in terms of, I wasn't a bad person, but I admired some of the things that were quite negative. I hadn't worked it out. I hadn't worked out. Life as such, you know,
yeah.
life, I very much not. But, so...
I think a lot of people are in that position, though. I think that everybody goes through that sort of thing. But obviously doing it at such a young age, 15 years old,
yeah.
that's what you are. That, if anything, like, at the time you saw it, as a bad thing, but now it's a blessing.
It was a blessing, 100%.
Yeah. It made you the man you are, I guess, today now. So how you think of things and how you view the world is a lot different due to that scenario that you, or that situation you were in.
Yeah, and I think that boils down to that thing of understanding yourself and understanding yourself and understanding that yourself is yourself and what your personal character traits are like. But yourself is also the experiences that you've been up to, carried and you've experienced. And
whether
it's like
that's a toxic relationship, or maybe you were involved in something you shouldn't have been involved in, or whatever that's. You know, different things you've read, seen, watched, all of those things. It's like, and especially, do you know they say you're an average of the five people you spend the most time with in your life, in around that present time. Do you know what I mean? So, whatever five people you're around at the moment,
I'm a great believer in that, and you know, those experiences and stuff allowed me then, you know, in terms of empathy, I became a giant in terms of empathy, because, you know, in those experiences and through being those crazy years where I was exposed to all different types of people.
Can I ask you what sort of people you were exposed to at that time in those years of 15, 16, 17?
Everybody from, like, I don't know, when I say, like, realistically, from, you know, pimps to big drug dealers, smaller drug dealers, gangbangers, we could say, but not in the American sense of it, you know. Yeah. So
it's still dangerous people then.
Yeah, very much dangerous people. People who are robbing, doing armed robberies, people who are doing all manner of things, kidnapping, people that would do all manner of different things. Yeah. And what happened was, is like, the experience actually humanized me, because what happened was is, like, actually some of those I got really close to people and their stories, and I didn't take things at face value, because, okay, cool, this guy was maybe, for instance, doing armed robberies here, but what was his backstory? He had a story. And what happened was is, my experiences allowed me, and probably because of my nature, to get to the grips with people and their stories and have an understanding of how people get to a bad place. That's mad, you know, bro. Not based upon, and many times it's not based upon, or in total about their own up, but actually how, what the environment that they've been placed in, parents, which you've got no control over, and that type of thing. You know, some things they can pay for, or just the environment itself, or, you know, other things to do with an individual in terms of their identity and how they feel about themselves. A kid could be really chubby, you know, for instance, an example. So he's been bullied, so he might feel like the need that, you know, he might develop a lot of anger from that.
Mm.
And then he might then, for instance, go then have to act worse than the other ones to show that actually he's not a flake, or whatever it is. You know, there's so many different things, but it's actually just getting to grips with the true human story, you know. And that's basically what my last 34 years have been, with kind of like embedding myself in my own story and my own narrative and a narrative of other people. I'm finding myself. And now what I do is I use those experiences, and in particular, for me personally, in terms of, like, from a faith perspective, I use my faith and the knowledge that has been unlocked for me within my faith to allow me to help me navigate myself and people around. But the journey is very much myself before other people. Yeah, like, the amount of work that I do on myself to ensure that I have a clean heart when I'm going to speak to someone, to make sure that I'm, does that make sense? That I'm not being jealous, or I'm not being, you know, that type of thing.
Judgmental. Yes, bro, alhamdulillah. That's a, wow. Makes sense, you know, 100%. And it's amazing, because everything that you've just basically explained, and basically everything that you've just sort of, or these situations that you've been through, a lot of people are going through that situation now, whether that be on an even worse scale or an even lesser scale. Like, people are going through those times and those situations of, like, maybe being involved with drugs, or unsure of who they are, or the people that they're hanging around with. And maybe I find a lot of people nowadays hang around with people, especially old friends that haven't grown, and they're holding themselves back by hanging around with those people. But they're still, just because they laugh and joke with those people, they're still being acquainted with those people and still hanging around with those people for the sake of just hanging around with those people. Do you know what I mean? I think yourself as, like, I think you're a lesson, or you're like an outcome, or you're like the, I don't know what the word would be really. You're like the, what would the word be, man? if you're like the outcome of what's happened of when you take yourself away from that situation, then, basically.
Yeah.
So you've taken yourself out of the position of where you were involved with all those drugs and all that. You found yourself, and now look at where you are now, basically. Like, doing stuff with the BBC.
Yeah.
Doing stuff on television. You've helped so many people, bro. Like, I'm, like, even on the way to Jummah prayer then, we're walking down the road, you're meeting like 10 people around down the road. Like, people are stopping you saying, oh, thank you for helping me and stuff like that. Like, you've helped and inspired so many lives, bro, just from your story. And it's just amazing how it's, like, brought you so far, basically.
I think, you know, I think one of the probably the major thing for me was, it's just, like, and I think for anybody that's out there listening who's going through, I don't know, similar things or whatever in life, you know, a time where you're at a bit of a crossroads and stuff. It's just, if you can find what inspires you, what truly inspires you, you know, and I think, you know, that I think if you can uncover that jewel, that diamond. You know, diamonds are not for all to see, are they? You know, they're deep down, and you have to dig for it.
That's
you
a therapy. Yeah,
yeah, good, yeah. You really have to, and then you give it a nice little polish.
Yeah.
And then
you work on it.
Yeah, and then you work on it. You know. Yeah. Triple down on it. You know.
I think another thing, like, there's a lot of people out there, and I've said this on a previous episode with one of the boys. People are out there, they may want to do music, or they may want to write a book, or they may want to do this and that and whatever, and they're too scared because the people that they're hanging around with, they feel like they'd be pressured not to do that, or they'd be too scared to do that because in case they get judged. Like,
yeah.
What's he doing releasing a song, or what's he doing making beats now, or what's he doing, why is he writing poetry, or why is he painting pictures? Like, people are just, I think it scares people doing something. The unknown, basically. Change scares people.
Yeah, I think change does, you know, and I think, you know, one thing that I say to the younger guys and stuff, and I say, you know, and when I go into the schools and stuff, I'm saying, okay, guys, you know, define what a friend is. You know, and we'll go looking for definitions of a friend. And a friend is literally someone who wants the best for you, someone who is happy with you, someone who accepts you for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think, guys, girls, you know, if you've got individuals who are around you,
fake friends.
Do you know what I mean? And you don't feel you can be yourself, I think there's a sign right in that. So you probably need to draw yourself away from that.
If you don't feel comfortable, then that's obviously...
That's a sign.
Yeah.
It's a sign.
If you don't feel you're 100% comfortable.
No.
And don't just live up to being in with the popular people. That's one thing I sort of found when I was younger. Don't just... They don't care. They obviously don't care. They're not that interested. Like, you need to take yourself out of that whole... I need to fit in with the popular people, and I need to do what they're doing, and I need to be involved with these cyber crowds because these cyber crowds get the best girls.
Yeah,
you know, and these people have the nicest clothes and all that stuff.
And I do get it. I mean, you know, and but I think ultimately you can only... Yeah, you women, your young age. But I think, you know, guys, you know, the sooner you can get with, like,
that.
Being yourself, like, you know, you can only... You know, just there's no point trying to fit in with all these groups. I mean, realistically... You know, what I find is, like, I find, like, a little bit of what I like in all different types of people. So I have a whole range and, people. You know, I've still got naughty boyfriends and I really like them. But I've got the ones who have also got yachts. I've got the ones who have got, you know, townhouses, like multiple properties. You know,
I've got
a variety of individuals around me who I go and I speak to and on a human level and stuff. And, you know, and... You know, and I think it's about being you and being true to you and having friends that reflect you and do, you know, does that make sense? Rather than...
You elevate.
Yeah.
If you see your friend doing well, your first thought shouldn't be, how are they doing well? It should be, they deserve that.
Yeah.
And instantly, there's so many people that just shut their friends down so much, and it's just like, you know, and they're like, there'll be a group of, like, maybe five of them.
Yeah.
But then, like... There'd be like two of them saying, like, oh, how's he doing that? Like, how's he doing this? And how's he doing that? He doesn't deserve this. And, oh, he's doing this and that. And how's he getting that? Whereas the conversation should be, how can we help him to do better?
Yes.
How can we help him to reach something, like, better, basically? Like, how can we support him?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, just you know, because, guys, I do go out and my work is trying to understand the human conditions kind of thing, so I can help and stuff. And I think when you look at some of the guys around you and who aren't able to say that to you and aren't able to say, look, well done, and give you a pat on the back, like, guys, understand that, like, sometimes, like, they don't mean it in that sense. It's someone cannot give you something that they do not have. So some of the guys who are battling with things in their heart, and that's why I love this kind of the whole spiritual thing, the whole faith thing.
Yeah.
You know, I love Islam because it says, like, where it broke it down for me personally, it said, look, you know, none of you succeed unless you come to me with a clean heart.
Like, you were born in Muslim.
Yeah. But what I would say is, like...
Were you strict? Were you
Yeah, they were strict. So I never was not on it at all when I was younger. At all. Like, at all.
Yeah.
Because I have to come to something myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does take your time for, you know... And I think sometimes as well with the problem with Muslims is you take it for granted. So then what happens is you don't fully appreciate the gift and you don't share it in the way, you know. But it's not always, it's not straightforward like that. Go on.
If I had to ask you one question, bro, one thing, which, like, talking briefly on religion, because I want this to be open podcast for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be lovely. I think it'd be an amazing thing for people to be able to, like, understand the mindset of somebody who's believes in God or believes in or has a three things: has a fear of God, loves God, and then hopes in God for something to happen good for them. How would you say that's benefited you, like, in terms of, do you feel, like, complete now? Like, how do you feel?
Yeah, I think it's almost like that parental thing, you know, but parent that is like parent on kind of on a higher level, and you know, with CCTV, because you know it feels like you know the relationship I've got with God is very much like you know the child and the parent. So the parent, he loves his dad or his mum. And he fears them for them to be. Do you know what I mean? And he wants to keep them happy. And the relationship I have with God is that, you know.
Have hope as well.
And I have hope. Because like you would in your parents. You're going to have hope they're going to give you what you need. Yeah. Oh, can I have this? Can I have a bit of pocket money? Whatever it is. But
And they'd always provide.
You know?
Even as bad as you've been, really, they always provide for you. So, you know, and if they don't, then... I'm sure there's another door that's meant to be opened in the future.
Does that make sense? And that's another family member that comes
optimistic.
In. Yeah.
Constantly optimistic.
100%.
That's what I've realised and what I've taken from it.
I think optimism, and look, nobody has a perfect set of decks, you know, in terms of life. Nobody has a perfect, you know, he's the most beautiful, he's the most clever, he's best for sport and football and this, parents, sure. He doesn't give everybody everything.
Everyone will have
their own trials.
Yeah.
And I think then life is about perception. So if you've got that in your mind that you're thinking, look, life is about perception and I will be tried and I've got beauty in my life and there's some things that are ugly, but guess what? I can work to make them more beautiful, you know, and I'm going to, that's my job. It's to really, like a craftsman, you know, to really try and make things as beautiful as possible.
100%. Wow. So it's helped you a lot, really.
It's been, for my centre, it helped me navigate, like, helped me to understand, you know, it's like an A to Z. You know, if you come out of your house and you don't know where you came and where you're going, then your head's spinning, you can be blown in. Like, I have anxieties because I'm lost. I don't want to be lost. I am now found, so I've got that clarity and that surety, and I'm rooted.
It's almost like full faith in God, basically. Like, you are completely just letting your life flow with how God is, and you're just working hard at whatever you're doing. You're working hard, and if it's meant to be, it's written for you then. So you're leaving your life to God, but you're still, alongside that, you're still working hard, and you're still trying to make movements in your industry.
Yeah, I mean, when I say I leave my life to leave my thing to God, I mean, in a sense of, I'd say, like, I'm aware of God, for me personally, God in everything. So, on a sense of leaving it to God, no, God says you've got to tie your belt. You got to, when the prophet tied his camel outside, he had to tie it. He didn't just leave it, like, God's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
So, what I feel is, like, you've got to get the right balance.
That's nice, but
you know,
really,
so does it make sense? Yeah, you have to get the right balance, and that you can't be, you have to be proactive, but understand that God, you know, because ultimately God has blessed us with almost like God-like characteristics, if we so use them.
Essentially, he doesn't really need to give you any more, because essentially the fact that you're alive and the fact that you're being and the fact that you've got your family and everyone's got their own blessings that which they don't prioritize, and then they're constantly seeking for more in terms of business and I deserve this or I'm entitled to that and stuff like that, when really we should be thankful for what we've got already and making the most of that and securing that, really.
But only if you can see God fairly firmly in your rear view mirror, in your front mirror. If you can see him, and then you have that understanding, it makes you have appreciation. You understand that, you know, sometimes we get me, like, oh, my life's this, my life's that, and we don't realize actually our life is in a better way than the person next door. So it's about seeing the blessings. It's about understanding that it's a blessing, it's a gift. So if you have family who's really, really, remember, we had no say in who my family was, so I've been gifted something. And I think seeing life as something that's gifted through the lens and eyelids of someone, or you know, of someone who feels he's been gifted with things, or seeing it through the lens of someone who feels like he's hard done by, two different things. It's half full and half empty.
I think it's that.
So I think, you know, faith really should change how you see the world. That's gratitude. Essentially where it is. Because it's that, and that is what you
yourself,
see. You humble yourself and you see beauty and you see where you can provide service, not for where you can take out or where you can, defeatist.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. I think as someone who's a real...
You've had no say in being born. You've had no say. Nobody's had a say in this world. We've been born. We've had no say in being born. But, like, it's about making the most of what you've got.
Or what you've been given. It's gratitude. You mentioned it.
Making the most of your situation. Do you know, a little statistic for you?
Yeah.
If you've got a house, regular clothing, and an income, you're richer or you're more wealthy or whatever than 70% of the entire world.
It's crazy.
You're in the top 30% of the entire world. Only 30% of the world have that guaranteed.
Wow.
How mad is that?
So
30% of the world have a guaranteed house, income, and regular food and stuff like that. That's
shocking.
Yeah.
It's actually quite shocking. And if you said that a statistic to probably most people where we live, everyone's like, I can't feel it. It doesn't resonate with me. We don't, because we're so pissed off about life. Yeah. And in general, I'm moaning. We can't see anybody's thingy. We're desensitized. We'll watch the news while they're dropping bombs and eat our lunch. We're desensitized to other people's pain and suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
This is it's a weird thing how selfish we are. Yeah. We've gone, not everybody, but I'm saying like society at the moment, you know, it breeding a lot of selfish people when we're all interconnected. No man, woman. Is a woman, yeah. Anyway, is an island, you know,
yeah.
And we're all interconnected, so you can see, you know, but on a positive note, there is hope, there's some beautiful beauty out there, and you know, and ultimately,
with hardship
comes ease, and in hardship is ease, and sometimes, you know, it takes brothers like Tom, for instance, to be out there. You know, hopefully myself included,
yeah.
And we're trying to help people reach their diamond, you know,
yeah.
And to give it a polish off, and you know, you cannot do it for someone.
Yeah.
I just want someone to have a good perspective of themselves and the world.
Do you know?
And that's what we're trying to do.
Do you know? So with my staff now in the shop and with the boys in the shop, what I tend to do is I individually give them goals. I was speaking to one of the boys about this the other day. I individually give them work goals, so a business goal, a mental health goal, and then a goal in life for like how they can better their life. And every week we review that goal to see how they got on with that goal. And it's quite amazing, really, because what I'll say to the boys is, oh, how has work been this week for you? Are you enjoying working in the environment that you're in? You know, is it going well? And then I see like what they want, really, like in terms of, like, okay, I want to start doing education, or I want to start bettering my clipper work, or I want to start maybe going on a course, or I want to do something in terms of like a photography shoot or something like that. And then what I'll try and do then is I'll try and make that happen for them, because their underlying passion may not be cutting hair, essentially. Just like mine, I'm not passionate. Like, I enjoy cutting hair, but my passion is to make people look good and feel good. So that's like my deep passion. And I think that it's important for the boys to, okay, enjoy cutting hair,
yeah.
But mostly find your passion in terms of, like, what are you actually trying to achieve by cutting hair? Like, do you want to have a business? Okay, if you're passionate about having a business, let's try and make that work for you. So I want to create a system which empowers the people that work for me, a vision that inspires the people that work for me, rather than just saying, right, you work for me, let's make, you know, a great quote that I found the other day, lead by inspiration, not manipulation.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's funny what you just said, because all we've been talking about is like helping people find their diamond. That's what you're actually doing. You found your diamond, you found what your thing is, what inspires you, which is to make people feel good. That's your thing. That's what makes you feel good, look good. Like, that's your thing.
Yes,
that's a service.
Yeah,
like, you found what inspires you, what motivates you, and how that looks, it comes in all different shapes of fashion, like the shop and like all the other different things that you're doing. Now what you're doing, which is really, really beautiful, and I think that's what we all need to do, is help the people around us to unlock those. And by you friends, setting family, the aims and all those things with just what you mentioned about your employees, that's you actually helping them to thrash out and negotiate
Make a change, negotiate it, and have
those and reflect upon those really key things.
Yeah, wow, 100%, man. One more thing I wanted to brush up on and speak to you about, really, just like a sort of, we'll go on to a book recommendation after this, because it's something I really want to get from you is a book recommendation, because I know as a bookworm yourself, you've probably got a lot that you want to chat about in terms of books and what you've read. But the one thing I wanted you to just drop a hint of, really, was I understand that you did some time away in prison. And I think as somebody who's open about it and, you know, likes to talk about it, I'd like you to give some of the people that are listening some insight on, like, what can happen if you don't sort of, you know, take a change or make a change. Because, you know, nobody essentially wants to go to prison. It's not somewhere that everybody, you know, that people want to go to, basically. People want to try and find their passion and stuff. But just, I wanted you to drop a little insight as to how you found that experience and what that experience did for you, having that time by yourself. like self-reflection and stuff like that, because it is an important thing to do.
I think that there's, you know, there's goods and bads. I mean, let's start with the negatives, because I think that's the most important thing.
What was it, 3 years?
You know, yeah.
3 years you went away.
Yeah, I did indeed. And, you know, I think, you know, what we've spoken about is how your environment shapes you. And, you know, in prison, you can imagine you've got, you know, when I say this, in terms of behavior-wise, probably like the worst of the worst in terms of within society. Not as bad as the politicians, mind, but I'm joking. No.
Always so shady.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? They're a bit shady, they are.
The real gangs.
Do you know what I mean? They're the real gangs. Yeah, exactly. They got a helicopter. No. Yeah. So, so your environment shapes you. Now, if you really treasure your life and you want, you know,
what did you go in for as well, by the way? Sorry,
like drugs and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, and that type of scenarios. Yeah. I was a busy boy, mind. Like I said, like anyway, we will go into that so, another time. Yeah. But I think one thing that I'd probably like to say really would be, if you do and you want, you value your life, you know, and you understand and you appreciate your life, and you understand that your environment shapes you, then prison is probably is the one of the last places that you'd want to go, because, you know, it's your environment and the people around you are not necessarily going to be aspiring to achieve the greatest things in the best way as you might, you know, if you're kind of like morally awakened and that type of thing, you know. So it's a very harsh environment, you know, there's a lot of bullying and, you know, a lot of a hell of a lot of peer pressure. You can't, which you can't get out of. And like I said, you know, essentially you've got to, you know, people who have done some of the worst things all in one place. So it's not, you know, things can get quite tense and stuff like that. But I think on a positive note, just from my perspective, my own personal perspective, you know, how I benefited from it, it was just being able to sit in one place. It helped me. I mean, I had the one thing which was before, yeah. I mean, I had reading, which was amazing. And, you know, I already mentioned about me having an abundance of energy. So this was, you know, life, although I hate the word, but life is about discipline in some ways. Mm. You have to be able to, like, discipline yourself. And discipline yourself. Like, sit down. Like, you know, the reason why, like, universities and stuff are really big. Get used to being, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Too many people are scared to just be on their own. Just take some time to be on your own and just, you know, reflect and think about life and think about, you know, that's, I can guess what, that's what prison did for you, essentially. You had that time to reflect on your own and just find you.
Yeah, and I think it's about mental capacity, because I think when you reflect on yourself and you're sitting by yourself and reflecting on yourself, some people don't always necessarily have the ability to cope with what they see in themselves, you know, because there's good, bad and ugly that you've got in yourself, and not everybody likes to see that. And, you know, you have to have a way of thinking to be able to balance it, to be able to see some of the good that you have, you know, even in amongst, you know, some of what you were doing, there was actions of, you know, actions of goodness that you did. And then, you know, be able to look at what you didn't like about it. And actually, I think, again, it goes back to role models, having good role models or having individuals in your life. It could be your family member. Like I said, my father played a crucial role at that stage, because you realize there are role models who went on to achieve great things. There are role models who have great standing within people's eyes and in the eyes of the kind of the families and stuff. So, you know, a role model, attaching yourself to a role model, a way of being. Obviously, I was a man of faith. So the prophets, and I say kind of like all the prophets, were great role models to me once I attached myself to kind of faith. Because again, like, you know, I remember a great, I think it was Chris Tucker or one of them, or Chris Rock, said a joke, and he was like, you know, what I say to people who are religious, I say, okay, he said, you know, they're all arguing over this and that. And he's I say, forget about the messengers. Did you get the message?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I try to stay focused on the message. It's like, cool, I accept them. And sometimes we get caught on superficial things.
Yeah,
the deeper level is, have you got the message?
Have you got the message?
Yeah. And I'm trying to live by that message. And I think that's probably my ending note. It's like living with that message.
Yeah.
The message of hope, love, humanity.
Relax into your being.
Relax into your being and the beings of others and of creation. Yeah. So I'm trying to be at ease of creation. That's why I can go and talk to the drug dealer, because I know that's not, that action doesn't define him. Or why I can go and speak to the one who's deals with tax and they've got a big corporate company, because that action doesn't define them. There's more things that define them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've gone into being at peace with creation.
On that deeper level, right?
Yeah. Wow, hopefully, I hope so. Anyway.
Amazing, man.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. But yeah, amazing, bro. Amazing story. And I'm sure we could talk for hours and hours, but I've got a client I've got to get back
good,
to.
Good, so. I think I'm on double yellow.
But yeah, sorry, man. I wanted to do this. I want to make sure. Just one more thing. Quick book recommendation, and then we'll leave it there. Because I think a book recommendation, I'll try and do that as much as possible so that people know, just have an idea of what to read, basically. One from myself, just quickly, is... what have I been reading recently? It's called The Wealth of Man or The Road to Riches, I believe. Or no, the Road to Riches or The Wealth of Man, which is quite interesting about how currency started and how business started and the selfish gene, etc., all that sort of stuff. What about you, bro?
Probably my two. The one book I'm reading at the moment, really, really amazing. Really amazing guy, great author, great writer. He is a lecturer in, I think, the University of Michigan. No, his name is Dr. Abu El Fadl. He wrote a book which is called The Search for Beauty in Islam. The Search for Beauty in Islam.
Wow.
And is amazing. The kind of just a little bit of the backstory.
So you've seen it from another point of view?
No, he's seen it from a... He's seen it as a professor who deals with... He deals with a professor who deals with everyday contemporary issues of young Muslim and non-Muslim issues and people coming to him. Okay. And then what he does is he has a so what happens is he has a library in his house, and his library has all the great writers and authors of like well-known Muslim authors. And he's saying there's a forgotten science because all the things that have been spoken about in terms of like the message and how they have been forgotten. And so basically, it's like the books having conversations with themselves.
Oh,
so you'd have, you know,
it's like a comparison,
Abu Ghazal.
Like,
yeah.
They're annotating on the books and analyzing.
But based on what issues people come to him. So remember, he's an actual lecturer. Yeah, so people have come to him with real situations, being raped. Wow. Now he's looking at library. What do they say about it? And he's like, look, we dealt with anyway, that type of thing. So that's a great book. Read it, watch it.
Boom.
Boom.
Bro, absolute that. Pleasure. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for sharing your story as well. Because... you know, a lot of people wouldn't do that, and jazakallah khair, bro.
Pleasure.
I hope God bless
you. I hope it had benefit.
Yeah, and good luck with your future as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening, guys. And if there's anything messages wise, what's your Instagram, bro? Do you have an Instagram or Facebook?
I've got no social media at all.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
If you want to meet me or see me,
what's your email? You got an email?
I don't want to see you. I'm joking.
What's your email?
mojanner@hotmail.co.uk.
Remember, guys, if you need any information, Tom Sage Barbering on Instagram or tomsagebarbering@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening.